Welcome to the Landscaping Podcast. My name is Joel Barnett and I am your host. And in today's episode, I'm talking with Dougie Elliott from Rock Solid Stone and Landscaping, as well as Rock Solid Health. So not only is Dougie a landscaper and stonemason, but he's also a holistic health coach. So he's starting to work with tradies now. So it was fascinating getting him on to hear about not only how we started in the industry working in Castlemaine in the Botanic Gardens and then working as a stonemason for his dad before moving to Geelong, but also just hearing the work he does in the holistic health coaching. It's quite eye-opening, and no doubt this will be one of the more unique episodes that we've done and potentially controversial with some people's opinions of it, but I'd urge you to give it a listen because it's a fascinating chat. And even though people may not agree with some of the things that Dougie says when he starts talking about the health side of things, it's certainly hard to argue with some of it as well. So hopefully you enjoy this chat with Dougie Elliott. Dougie, thank you very much for joining us on the Landscaping Podcast. My first question for you is, how did you start in the industry?
So when I was living in Castlemaine, I was obviously going to school, hated school, and I just wanted to get out and start working. And when in school back then, you could there was special teachers that sort of could organise work for you. And one teacher, he organised for me to do like a few days with the Castlemaine Council. And they were like, yep, cool, put him on. I think I did 6 weeks just 2 days a week. They loved me. All I did was brush cut sides of roads. And there they loved me because I was a hard worker. And then a few months down the track, they actually asked me to come on full time as an apprentice in horticulture. So I ended up going to Bendigo TAFE and completing my certificate there. And then I worked in the Botanical Gardens in Castlemaine for most of that. And did a lot of the surrounding towns like Mould and Newstead as well. And then ended up hopping out of, the gardens and horticulture. I did a little bit of civil work for the council, and then I ended up quitting after 2 years with that and started doing stonemasonry with my dad.
Ah. Does the council own the Botanic Gardens?
I think they do, yes.
So yeah. You're still working for the council while you were working at the Botanic Gardens?
Yes, Yeah, I was an employee of the council and I did my apprenticeship through them. And there was a head gardener there and we just worked under the head gardener and did all the rounds in there.
And sorry, I cut you off what you were saying about after you started working for your dad.
And then I started working for my old man after I left the council.
And then how long did you work for him for?
I worked with dad for 4 years.
Was there any talk about going to work for him before you went out to work at the council, or did he say you have to go and work with someone else first?
He would actually say to me, keep working for the council, mate. It's secure work. You get like a good wage, yada, yada, yada. He kept saying that to me. And for a few years, I was like, I want to come work with you and learn stonemasonry. But he just said, he insisted, stay, mate, for a bit longer. And then when I got a bit older, I was like, mate, I want to learn stonemasonry. So I'm like, I'm happy to go on a lower wage. And he's like, yeah, all right, cool. And then I just started with him.
Oh. How many employees did he have at the time?
It was just me and him.
Yep, awesome.
He had up to six at one point, but he said it was just a headache and he couldn't get anything done because he was driving from job to job. And sometimes it's hard to find good workers, he said, so you can't trust them. And
yeah, that's a similar story. A lot of people, they'll start a business because they like what they're doing and they're actually good at doing the actual work. And then because they're good at it, they'll get a lot of work coming in. So they think, I'll put on more people because I've got so much work to do. And then you get to a point where you can't do the work yourself because you're just going around organising to keep people employed.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what happened to him. Yeah.
To make
a job. Yeah, exactly. And he loved laying rock and he hated that. And he ended up just being like, nah, I'm not employing any more people. It's funny too because when you had people employed that end up being actually good stone layers, they end up leaving anyway after about a few years because they were like, oh, I want to go on my own now. And so you end up losing all the good ones anyway.
Yeah. Right. Is there a lot of stonemasons around Castlemaine because of the rocks?
There was a few. Yeah, it wasn't as many as you probably expect, but there was a few. Yeah.
And how was it working for your dad? Was he yelling at you and you yelled back at him or?
I mean, he's best mates, great. We worked together really well. Never argued. I listened to him. I got a lot of respect for my old man. He taught me a lot. And we never argued. My brother and him, he's a stonemason too, my brother. And oh my God, they would argue like crazy, mate, like swearing at each other, going off. And I'd be in the middle breaking it up. Like, yeah. So that was pretty funny. Dad hated it, but yeah, it was pretty funny to see.
So what made you leave there after the 4 years?
Oh, well, I ended up meeting my wife. She lived in Geelong. I was traveling down here a lot, and I was just like, I want to move down to Geelong. Something different. It was a big step. Obviously, been in Castlemaine for a long time, had all my friends and family there. Didn't know anyone here, didn't know anyone. And I was like, yeah, I'll move down here. I moved down here over COVID as well. That was quite rough. And I ended up traveling back to Castlemaine a lot to work because I couldn't get any work here. So I ended up going back a lot to work and stay at my dad's and then come back. And then it was a bit like that for a while, but we pushed through that hard time and ended up coming good. So I ended up working for a crew in Geelong BMS, Malcolm yep. Heppel. Ended up working with Mal for a fair while.
Doing landscaping or stonemasons?
I was doing stone for him, yeah. Paving and a few little stone, a lot of paving actually, mostly paving.
Yep. Were you doing any paving for your dad?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it was a bit of an eye-opener when I moved down to Geelong, actually. The style of paving down here, I've never seen it before. The tight joints and the really like you piece it. You have to use a little grinder, you piece in every single stone and mark it all out. And it was a real eye-opener because down there, everyone wanted like big 30, 20 mil gap joints to sort of stick something in. And yeah, it was a real eye-opener, the really neatness that I experienced when I moved down here. I was, and some of the jobs I was actually on, especially for Mal, I was like, whoa, these are big. Good jobs, like high end, like stuff. Obviously, the same stuff you do.
That was crazy paving you were doing mainly there.
Yeah, crazy paving. Did one stone wall there in Bowen Heads, but yeah, a lot of paving. Yeah.
And do you look at other people's crazy paving and have you got your own rules that you learn? You think that's not how I would have done it, but yeah, all's well in that.
Well, I was really open to just like new styles and stuff and. The basic rule of thumb is like don't have running joints and basic thing like that. Like I learned, but then like seeing the style and stuff was just a really eye opener, and I was really interested. And I ended up picking it up really quickly because I had to because we wanted a job. It was like 400 square meters of it, yeah. travertine, and it was in a house and outside a house, so it had to be really neat. So I picked it up pretty quick. So
and was it yeah. Did it hurt your heart having to cut with the grinder rather than sort of making the stone work for you?
Yeah, it was a lot different, mate. And walking outside, every cut, even if the stone was this big, you have to walk outside, cut it, go back in, check it, mark it, go back out, cut it, put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've heard, when I've posted like crazy paving, because I've got my own specific rules as well.
Yep.
But, and then there's, and I think it looks fine. And then people, I think it seems to be like in sort of the Scandinavian countries or around Europe. And some North American countries as well, but they don't like triangles to be in their crazy paving like that. There shouldn't be triangles in there. So
yeah.
Everyone's got their own rules.
Yeah, well, I've definitely used a lot of triangles. I don't mind the triangles actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, as long as it's not too much of the same thing. So
exactly.
Yeah, there's no pattern going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Is that your style?
Yep. Like I'm not that fussed on it, but But yeah, there's certain things I don't like to see. Like if you see a bunch of small pieces all in the same spot, and you just want consistency over the whole area. Yeah. Yeah. So I'd rather spend more on and get enough stone, like get more stone than you need, so that you don't have to use all the tiny little pieces.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, I've actually had that problem before where you're scratching and scraping and you end up like in one corner, you've got like heaps of like just tiny little bits, or you've got like on a stone wall, you're like scratching and scraping and then there's like you've used all the good square stuff and then there's like a corner where there's like it's you sort of notice that it's not as square.
Yep. Yeah. And to do that, you've got to allow for that before you quote the job. So you've got to put that quote that in your job so that the client isn't getting asked at the end for more stone to make it look good, so that you should give them a price. So this will look awesome, and then you can be happy with the work that you've done.
Definitely. Instead of scratching and scraping and trying to like get it down to the last meter.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, mate.
So what? So now you're in Geelong full time. So how did that? How did that work start to build up?
So the work started to build up because I'm pretty persistent. So I made a lot of phone calls, nagged a lot of people, and just kept calling people and saying like, "Yeah, I can work for you. I can work for you." And then I ended up getting in with Mal, and then I ended up getting in with a few other stonemasons in the area, and then I become good friends with them. They pass on work to me, and then I slowly would get jobs from other stonemasons, like little jobs. And then I actually, and then one big one too, I actually just went out on a limb and advertised on hire pages, which there's no stonemasons on it.
Yeah, right.
In the area. So like I was just like, jobs would come in, I'm like, yep, sweet. You'd obviously go and look at it and you'd be the only one looking at it. So.
Yeah, I use that because I had a spell from landscaping and got back into it nearly 10 years ago now, I think. Yep. But yeah, I use Hipages then because that wasn't around before I stopped, and then it started up in the 2.5 years I was out. But yeah, like there's some horrendous jobs that you get from horrendous leads, and they're a waste of time. But I got an 80 grand job from Hipages as well.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that one at Shelford, I'm on that. That's a huge job. It's a big job. And that was from Hipages, just from stone, like he got contacted me about the stonework, and then it led to just like he ended up wanting to do the whole landscaping and the stonework. I'm actually building 8 stone bluestone pillars right now there at the minute. So I'm onto that, cobblestones, a lot of restoration work on the old, it's 150-year-old bluestone cottage. I'm re-tuck pointing it with the white, that lime putty look, doing that now as well. So it led to so much work. So
yeah, awesome. And then you do a good job there, and then the word of mouth referrals will lead you on to other ones as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's all just come from Hipages.
Yeah, that come from Hipages. That one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure how Hipages was going to go. It didn't look overly like you're going to get great jobs on it. But that, like I have got, like you just said, I have snagged a fair few good jobs on it actually.
Yeah. And it's worth going through the rubbish ones so that you can get to the good ones, especially when you've got no other work coming in. So. You take what you can get.
Exactly. I snagged a little job recently on it. It was 18 grand, just like great little job around the corner, just really basic, really nice, beautiful client. And yeah, just awesome job.
And you're working by yourself now?
Yep. I've had two blokes help me recently, but one ended up leaving because he had to go work. He wanted to go work at the new prison that was built, the juvenile. He went and did that. And then I've got another mate that he helps me twice a week at the minute still. So, but yeah, mainly just me.
And is your old man by himself now?
Yeah.
He's so happy ticking along like that?
Yeah, he is, yeah. He's 60 now, and he's been doing it since he was 30.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And his body's going fine?
Yeah, actually is. He reckons it's going fine because he started at a later age. He started at 30. He didn't start at like 16 and just like smash himself. He actually started at a decent age, and then so he's not feeling as much. His back's good still, so yeah.
Yeah, I spoke to someone recently. I can't remember if he's in his 30s or early 40s, but he's looking to get into landscaping at a later age. And I said that's not a bad idea for that exact same reason. If you fit at that point, then you haven't had 20 years of punishing your body, so you've still got more time than someone who's been landscaping for 20 years and is 40.
100%, mate. Or you start when you're young and you just absolutely trash yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, picking up big pieces of stone that you shouldn't be.
Yep. Just doing crazy shit. Yeah.
And you've got another side of the business as well that you're doing. So tell me about that.
Yeah, 5 years ago I started studying holistic health, so like natural medicine, natural way of living, just basically like, how to like have high amounts of energy every single day and feel great. So I started studying, holistic health, 5 years ago, and I've basically been doing that ever since. And then I created my business, which is on Instagram as well. And I take a lot, have a fair few clients on that. And I'm deeply passionate about educating people on diet and lifestyle and how to optimize their health and feel just amazing every single day. So that's a real passion of mine as well.
Was there a reason that you decided to get into it?
No, I stumbled across it. By accident, I come across a few videos on YouTube of a bloke called Paul Check that I ended up doing a lot of his courses, and I just came across it by accident. And I was always kind of like into health, but when I come across Paul Check's videos, I just dive right into them, and I basically never look back. And I just fell in love with the whole holistic health and what it was about. And then I studied for a fair few years until I first took my first clients. And now I'm just taking on clients, and I've sort of gone away a little bit from that. Now I'm really focusing on like trying to educate and help more tradies as well. Because of the years of being a tradie, I see how awful the food that's consumed within the job sites, with all like, it's just like Monster energy drinks, it's pies, it's just junk food all the time, like constant. And I'm like, shit, I need to like somehow get my message out there that like there's another way, and you can feel great every single day and like literally thrive, have great brain function, have great energy, great muscle mass and definition. You can just feel really good in your body. And a lot of it, like, and I was a young bloke too that was like that, and you miss it all because you're just gung-ho and you just think a lot of these things are fads and stuff. But really, when like feeling like optimal every single day is such an awesome feeling to wake up and you're just like ready to go, energy's high, you're ready to hit the day, and work's not a drag. You can get through the whole day without a slump in the afternoon, and you're just fucking charging. It's just the best feeling. And I really want to get that message out to a lot of people, especially a lot of young men that are in the trade industry, because I've definitely seen how poor the food that is consumed in the industry, for sure.
But a dare double espresso iced coffee is fine to have, though, aren't they?
They're on the list too, mate. They're everyone smashes them down. And I'm like, oh. Yeah.
I might have had one today. I don't know. It's, I remember that far ago. So what is holistic health? Like, so holistic, I believe it's something like overall health, but what's sort of more specific?
You're bringing in more like natural ways of living. You're not obviously consumed with the conventional medicine as well. You're actually using you'll bring in things like Tai Chi, meditation, and you'll bring in things like whole foods, certain supplements that you want to bring in that are natural supplements as well. So it's a lot of like natural living, and it's like the mind body connection too. Like it brings in the connection with the mind, the body, and the body and the mind. So it's like the bi-directional communication up and down. And so it's like it's just an overall general, like, but basically you could think of holistic as like you're looking at the body as a whole, not just like individual, like an arm, a head, a leg, a foot, a kidney, a liver, a heart. Like there's no, like in our modern society, there's like specialities and things, like you have a specialty in like a heart doctor or a kidney doctor or a brain surgeon, but they're not looking at the body as a whole. They're just looking at it as like one singular thing, and that's where the problem lies, I believe.
Yeah, and like a lot of people back in the day would sort of turn their nose up at the methods you're talking about, but yes, there's so many more people now who are seeing the benefits of it as well. So yes, it's a good time for you to be getting into it, because there's a lot more people who are interested in like being clean, like clean eating. And doing all the things that you're looking to educate people about.
Definitely, mate. And I've done a lot of education and awareness around gut health as well, like how the gut functions and how when your gut microbiome is disrupted, how it throws off your neurological frame of mind. So a lot of people that have really poor gut health can actually suffer from depression, major depressive disorder, bipolar, all these types of psychiatric conditions. So, and the thing is with that, a lot of people wouldn't make that connection.
Mm.
They wouldn't make it, because like the gastrointestinal tract there's 75, they reckon about 75 to 80% of your immune system is housed within your gut.
All right.
And that's where you assimilate and break down and absorb nutrients that you need for your body to function and work correctly every single day. So that's where you're like absorbing micronutrients that you need for like the brain, for the heart, for the muscles. So you're absorbing and breaking down and utilizing these like really essential vitamins and minerals, And if that's not working correctly because of poor lifestyle, poor diet, and just overly stressed, then that's not going to lead to a really good outcome.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and when I find you, when you get unhealthy in one area or injured in one area, you can, if you try and push through that, you can overcompensate for it. So then you hurt yourself in other areas as well. So it's just a never-ending cycle.
Definitely, so, mate. Yeah. Yep, spot on, spot on. You'll just drive another issue.
Yep, yep. And I find also when you hurt yourself, like whether it's stubbing your toe or hurting a finger or just something minor, you don't realize how much you take it for granted when you're not injured. And that can be the same with your health.
Exactly, mate. And a big thing I do notice with especially men that are getting a bit older, a lot of them are always in pain. They've always got like a knee injury or a knee pain or a back pain or an elbow or a wrist, and they don't link it to probably what they're eating.
Yeah, it's the simplest thing to do, but they don't want to sort of they sort of might know subconsciously, but they don't want to change it. They just want the pain to stop with the easiest way possible.
Which is like Panadol or Nurofen or whatever. that comes with its own problems. So that's the awareness I want to try to get across to people is that, like, a lot of these niggles and these pain that they feel and the way that they feel neurologically as well, a lot of it would be definitely coming from the way that they're eating and living, the way they're eating and living. And if you can just make micro adjustments in that and see that actually, wow, I can feel a lot better, then I'm doing my job, you know, and that's what I really want to get across to people is, like, just – it comes down to choice, you know, like choice. You can either when you drive to work, you're either going to pull into the servo and buy some crappy food, or you're going to make a choice the night before to cook up a nice meal, have that ready to go, or in the morning prepare something, drive straight past the servo, and you've got your beautiful food with you ready to go. It's going to sustain you all day instead of trigger inflammation and brain fog and all these other crappy symptoms that come with the modern age food that we're consuming right now.
Yeah, and it's usually a lot cheaper doing it that second way as well, doing it the right way. Yeah.
Yep, 100%, mate, 100%. It just takes a little bit more effort, and you just got to do it for a certain amount of time, and then it becomes more of a habit.
Yeah. That's like, going to the gym or anything. I don't know if it's a certain amount of days, like if it's 7 days or 12 days or whatever, there's like some number people think it is for you to break a habit. So you just got to commit to it for however long that is, and then it just becomes normal for you.
About 41, they reckon about 41 days. They've researched that. They reckon like that to create that sort of like to bring, like you said, to break the pattern of that, like wanting to just jump back on back the way, because it's easy and comfortable. Because one thing that's helped me immensely in my life is something. It's really simple, but it sounds really simple, but it's really hard for a lot of people. And that's just getting out of your comfort zone. And changing your diet for most people is very, very uncomfortable. Because it's different. You could do something different. Like it's not like you're not an autopilot. You have to actually use your conscious mind to, like, oh, I'm going to cook up this meal. I'm going to buy this and I'm going to buy that. And then this is how I'm going to do it, instead of just like buy the same meal or just basically be on autopilot the whole time.
Yeah, that makes you remember. Have you heard of the, I don't know what you would call it. It's like a challenge. I think it's called 75 Hard.
I've heard of that before, yeah.
Yeah, because that's doing something for 75 days in a row, so then you're well and truly, you've got those skills in place, and you don't have to continue to do it, but you want to, because you know how you feel after that.
100%. And that's like you read 10 pages of a book, and then you train twice a day. It could be anything like walking, yoga, running, gym. So it's twice a day, and then it's you have to eat clean for the 75 days as well. So
you get up something, whether that's sugar or alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol. Yeah. So, yeah.
And what's something that people do to improve their gut health?
So what you do to improve your gut health is basically try to de-stress, however that may look for you, cut out alcohol, cut out highly and ultra-processed foods, eat more clean meats, and try to limit your vegetable intake as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No veggies.
It's a bit of an eye-opener. It's a bit of a whack, that one, yeah. Because, see, plants have built-in defense chemicals. and they don't want you to eat them. They got, you got oxalates, phytic acids, you've got lectins as well, which are all gut irritants. They'll irritate gastrointestinal tract. They can cause, they basically can cause inflammation. They're very sticky as well. And they're a plant toxin that the plant has evolved, that's built into them over evolution to basically try to tell whatever's eating them that, like, don't eat this because it's going to cause this problem or that problem. Or oxalates are a really big one. They bind to calcium. And then what happens when they bind to calcium, they build up and they become like a little crystal, like, do you know gout? It's sort of like gout. Yeah, like that. Like, it can actually build up throughout your muscles and tendons and ligaments and that, and you can actually, like, have quite severe problems from just consuming something like oxalate. And that's what a kidney stone is. A kidney stone is calcium oxalate. That's what it is.
All right.
That's all a kidney stone is. It's a calcium oxalate. Okay. We consume way more vegetables and plant matter than we ever would as a species over the last 60 years. So, and you've got to think about it. Human beings now, they consume in their first meal way too many oxalate in their first meal, let alone the second, third, and fourth meal, because we're consuming so much plant matter, And this comes back to, like, evolution as well. Hunter-gatherer days, human beings, there's certain tests that are done on bones of the remains of humans that date back to 350,000 years to 400,000 years ago, there's a special testing, it's very high tech, that they could actually tell these people these bones they were testing were primarily carnivorous human beings. And that just comes back around to, like, the whole meat and cholesterol and saturated fat and fat myth, and that was all. I looked into this heavily. I'm not just talking out of my ass here. Like, there's a bloke called Ansel Keys in the 1950s who basically did his first research on why people were developing heart attacks, stroke, atherosclerosis. And he was one of the first people back then that was actually researching, okay, why is there a surge in, like, heart attacks? So he was one of the first. He was, like, the pioneer of it. And there's a lot of ego when it comes to that sort of stuff, especially in the science worlds. Yeah, he did a study, it's called the 7-country study, where he cherry-picked 7 countries that the countries consumed, like, a pretty hot, decent amount of saturated fat, animal fat, and meat and stuff like that. And obviously made the association and claimed the causal effect from that was purely cholesterol and animal products, when that was not the case at all. So it was basically a big lie. And for him, and then that's, ever since then, it's just sort of, that's just flooded through mainstream, and basically everyone's just fearful of, like, cholesterol, animal products, meats, red meats. That's why you probably see, like, everyone always opts for, like, low fat,
yep,
which is, like, not what you want to do.
Yeah,
I know, it's a really big, like, shock to a lot of people when they hear, like, oh, well, eat like that, like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, yeah, there's a lot, like, and the information's out there for people to go look at too. Like, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast the other day talking about cause and effect. I can't remember which one it was, but there was like a person, there's a person on Instagram who was doing posts showing that it doesn't work, these causal effects. Like, it was, there was, I can't remember what the instance was, but basically, you know, it was saying something like all these people who got hit by a car had a cat as a pet. So if you have a cat as a pet, you'll get hit by a car. It was just ridiculous examples like that showing that that's not how it works.
Exactly, John. Yeah. Spot on, mate. Spot on. And, like, that's the problem now with, like, the whole research and scientists, because people think, oh, you're a scientist, you know, you're smart ass, but they're actually, what they're doing on these papers is they're putting on as the heading, like, cause, when they shouldn't be writing cause. Like, they should, I don't know what it's getting passed for, but, like, they shouldn't be writing, like, oh, cause this and that, because it's not actually cause and effect.
Hmm.
Like, it's just epidemiological studies that people observed and think, like, okay, yeah, well, that's the reason why. But like, that's not like, you can't set that in concrete and be like, cholesterol is the leading cause of it, because it's not. Like, inflammation is the leading cause of things like cardiovascular issues and autoimmune conditions and all these other issues we have. It's the root cause in the literature is actually inflammation. It starts off as inflammation in the body. And that's why, like, a lot of these things develop, because it's just low-grade systemic inflammation where you're just pressing the button every single day on the inflammation button, just getting pressed every day from all the foods and all the lifestyle. And eventually the button runs out and then the shit hits the fan.
Mm. Now, when you started doing having clients and you were initial, and then you moved towards tradies, did you notice a difference in the, you know, what people's health was or their mindset was towards their health?
With the tradies?
Yeah, tradies compared to people you were dealing with before you started focusing on the tradies.
Yeah, so the people would normally come to me and they'd be like, oh, I've got this really bad issue with my guts. This has happened. When we sit down and have a consult for like an hour, talk about everything. And these people normally come to me because they're like really struggling with the problem. But when I sort of shared about like, oh, this is what I'm doing with the tradie health stuff, they sort of reached out and were just like, I don't know, like, I hope this answers your question. They weren't really like sure of what to expect. And they didn't really know much about anything to do with health. They were just all eating like junk food, and their mindsets were a lot different than someone that was just coming to me purely, like, reached out to me and were like, hey, listen, I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z. Can you help me with this? Yes. It was a bit more different with the tradie stuff. They've just sort of been like, yeah, that sounds cool. I wouldn't mind losing a few kilos and feeling better. Like, can you help me? Sort of thing. I'll do that. Like, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
And are those people you're like dealing with now, are you still doing that as well as doing the landscaping stonemason work?
Yeah.
So you're pretty busy then?
Yeah, very. Yeah. So I do check-in calls when I go sit in the car when I'm at work, and I'll just have a, like, take 20 minutes. I'm chipping away. Then I'm like, all right, got to call at 10, go in the car, just have a chat, talk to them, make sure they're staying on track, keep them in check, keep them in line, and just reach out to them. So I'm basically doing that a lot as well. So, yeah, pretty busy.
And what sort of foods are you eating throughout the day?
I'm purely carnivore.
All right.
Yeah, so I eat meat, eggs, I eat a little bit of fish and dairy products.
So what sort of, like, do you have, like, is it purely meat? Like, you don't have any bread or anything like that?
No, purely just animal products. So what did I have yesterday? Yesterday I woke up. Actually, no, I do sometimes have a coffee in the morning. I do have coffee in the morning. So I have, I put butter in it. I just have one in the morning. I put butter in my coffee and blend that up. But that would be like a day for me. Would be like, wake up, hydrate with a lot of electrolytes and water first, wake up, and then as I'm going to work, have my coffee, have my first meal at 10 o'clock, which is normally like some burgers I've made up and maybe like a couple of like barbecue chops, like lamb barbecue chops. That will see me through to dinner time. And then for dinner time, I might have like a little bit more meat with like maybe 500 mils of raw dairy or a good quality organic dairy milk with some yogurt maybe, and then that will see me through to the next day.
And then, so there's no Dare double espresso iced coffees in.
Nah. None of that, mate.
that's pretty extreme. But like you say, like there's no doubt that it's not like there's any health issues that are improving. So whatever everyone is doing, it's getting worse.
Everyone's gotten worse when they've cut out the meat. When all this propaganda was getting pushed through the mainstream media and all the TVs and stuff, this is when health really plummeted. Like back in the day, as you know, Joel, like your grandparents probably had it. They would have ate butter. They would have had lots of meats and jerky, and they would have eaten a lot of even seasonal. And they wouldn't. Yeah, there would have been a lot of raw, probably dairy as well. Yeah, and just they would eat a diet high in cholesterol, high in fat, and high in protein. And no one back then. And then heart disease and all sorts of stuff started coming through after the revolution of seed oils. So like canola, sunflower, safflower, when they all started getting pressed and onto the market and through Crisco and all that sort of stuff, you know. So it's it's all these diseases and autoimmune conditions and immune dysregulations have all come through since all these processed foods basically come into play. And now it's rife through our society. People, all people know is just processed food.
Mm.
Like, a lot of people probably wouldn't even know, like my age, that back in the day, people like 100 years ago to 120 years ago, people ate a lot of butter and ate a lot of eggs and ate a lot of dairy and ate a lot of meat. And no one, everyone was skinny and had muscle on them, and no one was dying from heart attacks and strokes and had autoimmune conditions. And nowadays, there's over 100 autoimmune conditions in society. Yeah.
And all the I don't know if they're called neurodivergent issues as well. But yeah, there's a lot of things that are changing now that weren't as bad as what they are, what they were 40 years ago.
Exactly.
But no one seems to be worried about why that is.
And you should see the rates on autism in children.
Yeah.
Through the roof, mate. Like, it's gone up like, the stats on that are just,
And there'd be a certain element of it where it was just undiagnosed, where people had it, but it wasn't diagnosed. But there's also, but that's not what the majority of it probably is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. ADD, all these problems too.
That's a funny thing, because I remember when I was younger, so this was probably 30 years ago, I remember there were people who were getting diagnosed with it, and it seemed like the doctors were just saying, your kid's caught in drama, so they've got ADD, so that's what they were just sort of doing everyone. But it seems like that would have increased a lot because of people being undiagnosed, because there's so many people who have got certain levels of it.
Yep.
So there's different levels of how much it affects your life.
100%, mate. Yeah, 100%.
But I imagine some of the landscapers or tradies that you talk to would be pretty blown back with some of the information you give them as well, I assume, because I am.
Yeah, it's actually a little bit overwhelming for a lot of them, because they've just never heard it before, and they're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like they're just a bit blown back from it, and a lot of people are still caught up with the whole cholesterol myth.
Yeah.
It's just a myth. It's just a bloke that basically come up with this thing and made his own bloody cherry-picked his own countries to study and because it was the only one doing it, it just blew up. And they're like, yep, sweet, all right, cool. That's what's causing it. See, like, no worries. Stop eating meat and eggs and dairy and cholesterol, and we stopped doing that, and now look at us.
Yeah. Yeah, things like, certainly don't seem to be getting any better.
And even plant toxins, mate. Everyone's told to eat their vegetables. I did too. I ate my veggies for so long. And it was like, yep, vegetables are the way. You need them for your gut microbiome, yada, yada, yada. But it's not actually the case.
Those fruit in a similar bracket?
Well, fruit is a little bit different because it wants to be eaten, the fruit. But the problem with fruit is it's high in sugar, and sugar is another, and carbohydrate, and that's another problem.
The carbohydrates.
Yeah. Excess glucose in the blood is toxic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
Excess glucose in the blood, it becomes glycated. So basically the glucose binds to protein molecules in the body, throughout the body, and that causes, once again, systemic inflammation, high amounts of inflammation, causes a lot of problems. There's a cycle in the body called the Randall cycle, and a bloke in 1963 discovered this, and I think his last name was Randall, and he was a scientist. And when you consume fat and sugar together, so carbohydrate together, that they both try to compete to get into the cell to create energy. So what happens is they're competing to get in, and that basically not much gets in because they're competing, or one blocks the other, or the other blocks the other. So then the excess glucose just gets flooded into the body. Then you've got high amounts of fat, like triglycerides and glucose, floating through the body. That just gets converted to fat in the body, so then you actually put on weight. So eating the whole like mixed, like no balanced diet, like eat your fat, proteins, and carbs together, that's actually how you get fat, like put on weight. Because that's like a natural thing in the body, like where winter, this is like winter and summer would come along. Like obviously in the summer months, like you can consume, there might be a little bit of fruit growing or a little bit of veggie wherever back in the day, hunter-gatherer days. So these people would probably obviously eaten like the fruit and then the meat or whatever, and then they would have probably obviously gained weight back then, which is what was happening. Then the winter comes along, then they obviously there's nothing growing, so they're pure carnivore. So that all that like summer weight they've put on was for a reason in the winter months, you know. But nowadays we're just constantly activating that cycle, constant, like every meal. So that's another big issue in society today too, like the whole mixed. I was all like that, like for the years of study. I studied so much, like every day I've researched something to do with nutrition, diet, lifestyle, whatever. And when I started really understanding, grasping this new information that I've been learning about, it knocked me off my seat. Because I could have easily shut my mind off and be like, nah, I don't want to hear that shit. That's not true. But I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And I learned off a bloke called Bart Kay, which is a very fascinating bloke. He worked in academia. He was a lecturer in universities. He's a cardiopathophysiologist. He's a nutritionist and he's a sports scientist as well. And he's really just changed my whole perspective on nutrition. So, yeah.
And you're powering through water throughout the day as well?
Yeah, I drink water. Yeah, I love my water. And I always have my electrolytes in my water, like my potassium, chloride, sodium, magnesium. So I have my water, clean, filtered water. So I probably drink about 2.5 liters a day of that. I love that. So that keeps me going good. So
yeah. Yeah, because I find a lot of people, when they feel like they're hungry, they're actually just thirsty. And water is the best thirst quencher.
Yeah. 100%, mate. Yeah, and the thing is that that hunger thing you just said, like if someone's truly hungry, you could actually put a chicken breast in front of them, just chicken breast, and say, eat that. And if they were truly hungry, they would eat that. If they weren't truly hungry, they'd be like, nah, I'm not eating that. It's just the brain signal. They've had a thought, they want something, that tastes good, and they want it.
What if they were a vegetarian?
Oh, yeah, Joe as well, yeah.
Then yeah. They might not eat it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly true, yeah.
So what's the plan going forward? Are you going to be doing both? Do you plan to keep doing landscaping, somation work as well as doing the holistic health
program? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm actually working on a new structure for the Tradie Health program at the minute, Tradie Health 2.0, because the first one was a little bit too complicated and complex for the lads. So it was my first one. And I've got some good feedback and I've just analysed and looked at myself and been like, actually, this is actually a little bit too complicated for what these busy, hardworking tradies need. So I'm just working on it at the minute and going to come at it at a really different angle. So hopefully that will work really well, and I think it will.
And to dumb it down for the tradies.
Yes, exactly, mate. They don't need to hear all the complicated stuff, mate. They just need to be told by someone what to do, this is how you're going to feel, and go for it.
Yeah, I reckon most people would want that.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, I've learned that if you talk too technical all the time, people just switch off.
Yep.
Like you can, like it's. I need to learn all the technical stuff because that's my job, but I don't need to display that to someone in that way because they'll just be like, "What are you talking about, mate? Like, it doesn't make sense at all, or whatever." So,
yeah. I'm certainly someone who needs to improve what they're doing with their health, and I know it as well. It's just you've got to make the decision to start and just commit to it.
100%, mate. Yeah, it's just about making that first step, and that can be the hardest, especially when you're busy.
Yeah.
Dealing with clients and quoting and on the job, and, yeah, I that's why I want to get – and that's why I'm trying to, like, make it as basic as I can for a lot of these tradies because, like, they just need basic – information, basic awareness, and basic, like, okay, this is what you should do, this is what you need to eat, and this is going to make you feel good. Great, simple, done.
That's what people want. They want someone to tell them, like, what do I need to do to improve?
Yeah.
So you can't just say, I just need to eat healthy and exercise. Yeah,
exactly.
What's
everyone's different. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's different. Everyone Everyone has a different body weight. Everyone has a different body type. Everyone has a different, someone might have gastrointestinal symptoms. Someone might not. Someone might have neurological. Like, you're working with a whole array of different people and you need to sort of dial in and go, okay, right, what does this individual need? Okay, they're a tradie, they're a businessman, they're a whatever, whatever. You need to really dial in what that person needs. And like, the carnivore diet is, in my opinion, the best diet on the planet, but not everyone, because some people's metabolisms are so broken that they actually can't go on a carnivore diet. They actually have to have some type of carbohydrate, like coconut water or some type of fruit. So that's just like, so that's, I mean, like, there's not one size fits all. There's like a really personalized approach that I go with a lot of people.
Last question for you, Doug, is who do you think would be a good guest to have on the podcast?
Oh, a good guest to have on the podcast. A good guest to have on the podcast, I reckon, is a stonemason in the Geelong area.
Yep.
I reckon he's really, really good at restoration. Adam Trevine.
No.
Heard of him?
Yeah, absolutely. It's AT Stonemasonry.
Okay, yeah, he's a master at restoration work, old buildings, all that, and you'd probably have a very interesting conversation with him about restoring old buildings, how it's done, and yeah, I reckon you'd have a good conversation about that with him. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you're the third stonemason I've had on, and they've all been fascinating chats. So I do like talking to stonemasons. So.
I listened to Timmy Violet.
Yeah,
one. Yeah, that was a good podcast. I listened to that one.
Yeah. I met him the other day at the garden show. Yeah, awesome.
Oh yeah. Great mason. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on. It was absolutely fascinating hearing that side of thing. So, yeah, so a bit different to what we've had on the podcast, but, absolutely fascinating for me. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing it.
No worries, mate. And it's to do with the tradies out there. So, yeah, I want to really get my message out there and people to see that, yeah, there's actually people out there like me that really want to help them and educate them on how to be healthy.